Please, I'm taking the first topic, the Truth Equip Minister. Now, there are a number of points I want to make in this our teaching this morning. We're in the minister's meeting, and the duty of the minister of the gospel, primarily, is not administration. It's not to run the church effectively. It's to present truth to the people of God. If you read, like I was mentioning yesterday from the book of Hosea, when he said that my people perish for lack of knowledge, he emphasized that it's because the prophets, the priests, they rejected knowledge. And my own thinking in today's Christianity in Nigeria, this is the year 2012, you know, the Bible says that the word of God was scarce in those days. I think it's a very proper word to use in this season. Once I said I was going to do a teaching on what I call the modern day dark ages. And the reason is that before there was a time people talked about that the Catholic Church, the church worldwide then. For a long time, nobody knew the scriptures. If people knew, had the Bible, nobody read it. And the church was just run by church traditions. And we call them the dark ages. Now, we think we have come out of the dark ages. Actually, we came out of the dark ages. There's a lot of truth. Bibles are available. Every phone has a Bible. Every computer, for the person who's interested, has 20 translations. On the internet, there's one place there's a time I traveled to the U.S. I had to change my computer, so I didn't have my Bible on the new computer I had. So I just checked. I said, there must be a place where I can read Bible on the internet. And I found a website called Bible.cc. So many translations just online. That was what I used when I wrote my book, A Great Faith Can Be Yours. All my references, I'll just go up there. That's what I was using. That is, if you have fast internet, it's just like Bible on your computer. So the Bible's everywhere. But I think about it. Even though we have a lot of Pentecostal churches that are supposed to be world churches, they have begun to do just what we complained about the traditional churches of those days, in which the Pope's word was law and he could not fail. He made no mistakes. Pentecostals have gone into that also. The church is now run by traditions rather than by the knowledge of the truth. If you challenge something, if it's against the tradition of the church, people feel like you are the one that's out of order. Now, we don't have all the time to explain all of those things. Traditions, they change from time to time. They have to. That's why as the word of God comes into a situation, the manifestation of it in the lives of people is affected by the kind of situation they are in. So after a while, the truth remains the same, but you know, as people stuck with that tradition, even when God has lifted them beyond the level that word met them, do you understand? They still want to stick with it. Then they now make the word of God of no effect by their traditions. Let me explain what I'm saying. For example, this is a very good one. They came to Jesus and said, can we divorce our wives? And he said, I don't think so. Nah, I'm just paraphrasing now. And they said, but Moses said we could. Moses gave us, said all we needed to do was this and this and this, and you could let the woman go. And he said, no, in the beginning it was not so. But that the standard was lowered just to adapt to you. That is, now I have come with the knowledge of God, with light and grace. Anybody walking by the truth and grace of God shouldn't obey Moses in that area. Because Moses gave a commandment that was a reflection of the hardness of people's hearts. But people will stick with that. No, that's a commandment we have always had. You want to analyze the scriptures, they're not interested. It is the commandment we have always had. And I'm challenging you this morning to let's forget those things and again, go for truth. Truth is what will set people free. Truth is what will build a great ministry. Truth is what we need. The church and the ministry does not need methods. It needs the truth. And to start, because I said I'm talking about the truth-equipped minister, two main things I want to talk about is one, the power of truth, and that's the power of grace. But grace is the power of God anyway. Then number two, I want to talk about the pollution of the word of God. That is, how people pollute God's word, the temptations that arise that make people do that, and how we must work so as to resist it in our lives. Let me start by explaining something about the power of God. The scripture we all know very well, the book of Hebrews chapter 4. In my school of Bible exegesis, I did an analysis of it about 2 weeks ago. And we're really blessed that, in fact, I sent it by mail to those in my mailing group last week, or earlier on this week. Now, let me just read from verse 12. Or let me start from 11. I'd like to read them in context. Let me go back. 9. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's New American Standard I'm using. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. He said, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Now my emphasis is verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, what I really want from there is where he said the word of God is living and active. Now, when he says the word of God is living, let me please emphasize the meaning. What he meant is that the word of God has power. It thinks, it strategizes. Are you getting my point? Is able to execute whatever be the commandment inside it. The way I like to illustrate it is from the book of Isaiah chapter 34. After the Lord commanded destruction on the land, and the things he was saying looked so impossible, he said, don't worry about it. He said, look to the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail, neither will any lack its mate. Why? He said, because anytime, I'm paraphrasing now, anytime the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit goes out and gathers. That is, the word works by itself. That's what I'm trying to emphasize here. Once a minister was giving me advice, and I rejected the advice, but it was senior to me. I couldn't say anything. He said, because God has spoken, doesn't mean we shouldn't use our sense. So it means that if God has given you this, you have to use your sense. And he was telling me, what he was trying to do was that, I mean, all of you here know me well. I run Kingdom World Ministries. We're not what you call a church. And he was explaining to me that that was not good, that I should start a church. So I'm like, well, and it's not necessary for what I'm doing. And today we're talking about focusing on ministry along the line. I mean, there are different kinds of ministry. We don't always have to follow the same pattern. All right? So I was explaining that to him. He said, no, I don't understand anything. That, listen, people are not loyal. They are not loyal. That you will finish blessing them because our meetings were on Saturdays mostly. Then we also have prayer meetings and school of that's Bible exegesis like this on Tuesdays. But the main meeting is on Saturdays. That's why we do the in-depth teachings and all of that we'll put on TV. And because most of our messages that we have out on MP3 CDs. So that's Saturdays. He said that people will finish listening to you. You will bless them on Saturday. Then they will carry their tithes and their offerings to church on Sunday. That is, open a church so that you can collect the tithes and the offerings. He said, look, this work you are doing is costing money. But I felt like telling him, sir, you have not asked me how I've been paying for it over these years. Because I wasn't starting it that day. You have to be careful. Because, look, as a matter of fact, God has blessed us. As of today, we broadcast on 3 radio stations and 1 TV station. And we pay rent. We spend a lot of money. We have, 1.5 members of staff. I have someone that works all full-time. Another person that works part-time. All our other staff are volunteers, all right? And we are not owing anybody money. You have not asked me how well that is done. You are telling me that if you open open a church, you cannot collect the tithes and the offerings. And I felt now, it's sad, but that's the motivation for a lot of the work you see. It is the motivation. People have a church somewhere, it's not a big city, the money is not good there. Then go open a branch in a big city so as to remit the money from the branch to the main work. That because after all, a friend of mine, your daddy was saying that, they have to move to Lagos. They have to move to Lagos. I said, why? He said, Lagos is where you find men. Listen, you don't need men. You need God. If God sends men, you accept them. Are you getting my point? We are not allowed to strategize like that. That's not what we are supposed to do. The word of God is living. What it means is that if the word of God wants to arrange men from Lagos, from Abuja, from Port Harcourt, from London, from Australia, let the word of God do it. It is not your duty. He's alive. That's the word of God. He can think of what he needs. They came to Mary. He said that you have a son and love. I said, how can these things be? Seeing that I don't know any man. Gabriel said, you don't understand. He said, no word from God shall be void of power. That is, once he speaks, that word has enough man in it to give you 20 pregnancies if it is necessary. Are you getting my point? In that word is all that you need. That's what I was telling Mary. Listen, this word, when he said, with God nothing shall be impossible, what he means is that this word is all you need. Now, what I'm going to explain, that is what we need also as ministers, the truth. If you see 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in it, Paul was speaking. He said, I planted, Apollos watered. Now, notice this. It was God that was giving the increase, not the strategies of Paul, not the strategies of Apollos. Paul had a duty, plant. Apollos had a duty, water. Both of them were doing the same way. The planted thing was the word of God. The way by which they watered it was the word of God. Just different emphasis, different doctrines. All right? But at the end of the day, it's God that gives increase. I'm bringing out something here. Strategies don't bring increase. Let me explain what I'm saying. I've been around a bit, and I hear ministers sometimes strategize, and I feel bad. He said, no, you must put your church in the center of town so that everybody can come there. Now, a church cannot be big if it's not in the center of town. So, people will break their heads, they will fight over every little piece of property in the center of town because they don't believe that the church can ever make it without being in that location. Know what Jesus said? When you went to the wilderness, what did you go and see? The people ran to the wilderness to go and see John. Do you understand my point? It's the word of God that gets results. It's God himself that gives the increase. I like the way he said in Acts chapter 19, verse 20. He said, let's just read that one. That the word of God grew and prevailed. I just want to quote it correctly. I'm reading for New American Standard. It said, the word of God was growing mightily and prevailing. It was not the strategies of men that was growing mightily and causing the ministry to develop. It was the word of God. So mightily was the word of God growing, and so mightily was it prevailing. It wasn't human effort. The one I like most of the series I'm quoting, the scriptures I'm quoting now, is the one from the book of Luke chapter 19. Jesus was saying something. They're talking about the parables of the sower. Of the mina. The man, the ruler that gave minas to his servants. When they came to report, notice something, verse 16. The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 more minas. One brother pointed out to me when I finished teaching on this. The thing just struck him. So he came to tell me afterwards. I never forgot it that day. He said, your mina has done what? Made. It's not my effort that made. It's not my diligence that made. What made was what? Your mina. It's not what I tried to put into it. What made was your mina. So he said, your mina has made 10 more. That is, it was the word of God that produced, not the effort of man. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It was not their own strategies that produced. It was the thing that the master gave them. One of the things I like to point out from this particular scripture is the fact that he said, occupy with this. If you have my Bible, when he gave it to them, he said, verse 13, do business with this. I like that with this. I didn't see it in many other translations, but it's in New American Standard. He said, do business with this until I come back. Don't borrow. Do business with this until I come back. Don't take your neighbor's own. This one I'm giving you is the one you will do business with. Don't take the one you kept in the house before I gave this to you. Do business with this. Do you follow my point? And when the fellow did that, the mina made more. It was the thing that the master gave that made. I'm bringing an issue here. In ministry, it is the word that makes. Are you getting my point? It's the word that produces. For that reason, we must be careful. Now, let me say something quickly. Paul was saying when Paul was speaking in that place, before I say what I want to say now, I just remember something I should say. When we are building in life, the only thing that will endure is that which is built by the word of God. Anything built by human connection, hear ye the word of the Lord, eventually it will collapse. There are those that ministry for them is connection. You have entered into the, what do you call it? There's this college of bishops here. That's the word I'm looking for. So, which college of bishops do you belong to? There are people who fight to get there. They buy suits they cannot afford, buy cars they can't afford, live in house they can't pay the rent, meet in place just so that they can be part of a particular network of ministers, because they think that that is the way by which you grow ministry. And let me tell you something about temptations. I was about to say that earlier. Temptations are called temptations because they are tempting. So when we're talking like this, don't think the man is an idiot. He just woke up, decided to throw away something that's precious. No. Temptations are tempting, are called temptations because they are tempting. That is, if the guy he was doing ministry to for 3-4 years, the thing did not grow. He saw his friend that entered into the network, and within 2 years, from just a few members, they were already 2,000, and he's going for international conferences. He's there, he's on top, he has bought a very nice ride, and when he's passing, suddenly he realized that he's no longer a senior pastor, he's not a papa. He too is a papa. Then you gotta look at his friend. Oh boy, you too now, papa. Now, so I say, how did you do it? Oh boy, you have to connect with the right people. It works, that's what I'm going to explain. But believe me, it will collapse one day. It will. There are those who gather congregation on fake doctrines. Listen, it will collapse one day. It's a matter of fact, it will collapse one day. It will collapse one day. What the only thing that endures, you know, Paul said it, every man's work will be tried by fire. If you built with wood and stubble and grass, very nice, rapid building. Very beautiful. But the day the fire comes, it will burn everything up. But if one builds with the word of God, that's the one that survives the fire. Now, still talking about the duty of a minister, I just want to quickly talk about this. Yesterday I was talking with Archbishop. And we're discussing something. There's something that came to my mind some time ago, which I used to like to illustrate the duty we have as Christians. I was trained as a medical doctor. And for that reason, I know the way surgeons behave. For those of us who don't know, if you see a surgeon who's about to operate, want to operate on a patient, he wears sterile gloves. They are sterilized with gamma radiation. The gloves are sterile. There's nothing inside it. That's like a gem. But though the gloves are sterile, before the surgeon comes near to wear it, he washes his hands from the tip of his fingers to his elbow under running water with soap and one or two passes with a brush. He washes it as a rule. They are taught like that 3 times. He's going to wear sterile gloves. He's going to cover himself with clothes that are sterilized. He's going to cover his head and his face. But that doesn't stop him. He still has to wash his hands thoroughly. If you ever seen a nurse dress a wound, she does not touch anything. She uses sterile equipment to pick sterile gauze, sterile this. Everything is sterile. I'm thinking about something. This human healing they are giving. You know what I mean? Physical healing. Yet they treat the equipment with so much sanctity. Do you understand my point? They understand the need to keep it pure. That's where I'm going. So how much more should ministers of the word of life keep the word pure? I'm not talking today about the need to study the word. That's for every Christian. I'm talking to ministers. The need to study the word, we'll still talk about that, is important. But my emphasis this morning is on the purity of the word that we are delivering to people. There's a problem with being a preacher. God judges sin, amen? I was listening to one man of God the other day. He was talking as if, God does not judge sin because Jesus Christ has died for sin. The Bible, some people read it. I wonder which color they used to print the letters. Because yes, it has to be white on white paper for them to say, make some statements that they make. And I enjoyed a lot of the man's teachings, but some of those things he was saying, I just, you know, promoting a lot of licentiousness because we claim that God is merciful. I couldn't understand it. God actually judges. And that's why James said, when they are offering the job of a teacher, don't accept it easily. Be reluctant. These days, you know, people like the title pastor. People fight to be promoted and given their own branch. I wish you will understand that it's something you should accept with reluctance. Because James said that your judgment is double. The reason is this. When God was going to punish Jeroboam or Ahab or both of them, he said that I'm not only going to punish Jeroboam and his household for their sins. He said, but also for the sin that they made Israel sin. Do you understand? Jeroboam's household, they sinned. One set of judgment. Then for the one they are making Israel sin, another set of judgments. Do you understand my point? That's the problem with being a minister. That's the problem with being a preacher. If a normal person makes a mistake, it's only his mistake. If a preacher believes something that is wrong and then teaches people, all right, to practice that which is wrong, look, he has to make amends both ways. That's like if a preacher has been saying something that is wrong, go and tell people that, sorry, I said it like this. It's not exactly like that. Yes. That's how you make atonement for things like that. As a preacher, that's my emphasis this morning. That's why I talk about truth-equipped minister. Yes, we're going to talk about the fact that we should study. It embarrasses me when ministers, please, I don't know whether you are one of them, but if you are like that, I'm happy I caught you today. If you tell me you have not read a book like Robert Sliadon's God's Generals, I'm embarrassed for you. Yes, that book has been out there for how many years? This was a man that God said to him. The Lord appeared to him in the vision. Go and study the life of this man. Find out how they succeeded, find out how they failed. Write it in a book. You hear that kind of story? Please. You know, the other day, my minister was in my house. A friend of mine. A young man. So we're talking. And I said, have you read this book? No. I quickly called Yinka. I said, Yinka, please, we have to get this book for this man. I said, his life is at risk. Because these are the instructions that will preserve you. It's the word of God. Kenneth Hagin wrote them. Robert Sladen wrote them. A number of people wrote them. Look, I saw a book the other day by Oswald Sanders. I read it as when I entered leadership in LCC. It affected me. I remember the chapter, The Leader and His Reading. I finally saw the book again. I bought it once over the last... I read it first. That was around 1989. Then I bought it somewhere along the line. I saw it again last week or 2 weeks ago. I bought it again. Because I remember the man talking about the leader and his reading. Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. Spiritual Leadership, yes. I bought it just last week. But I think it should be in my bag if I brought it. Now, this is the point I'm making. For you to be able to deliver truth to people, you must know it. You cannot pray understanding into your head. You can only get yourself by prayer ready to receive it. You can't pray wisdom and knowledge into your head. Do you understand? I say all the time that when you read Proverbs 1 to 8, having studied the scriptures, I found that they were not the Proverbs of Solomon. They were the Proverbs of David, which Solomon wrote. Go and read it well. Because you see it, he will tell you, my father used to say to me, are you getting my point? He emphasized, you see the word. It's written, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Then you will see the things he will be writing. He will tell you that when I was young, my father said, when I was young, my mother said. I read them a commentary, and the person said that it was as if Solomon was prepared for the throne, specially by David. Now, he didn't use those words, but he said that Solomon obviously was in a school that teachers came and instructed him. Unlike, because David blew big time with Absalom, with Amnon, all those fine boys, no pimples, princes in Israel. You know, just going around, just shining. Yes, those boys were irresponsible. They were. Just read the story, you know. I mean, so when finally God gave David the opportunity, he said, this time around, we won't make the mistake. Solomon was set up for wisdom. His wisdom was not by chance. His father trained him since he was young. Read that one well, you find that these are the instructions of his father that he was not writing down. Are you getting my point? So much that when God said, "What should I give to you?" The young man was not being innovative when he said, "Give me wisdom." His father had instructed him. He said, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding." He said, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." David had taught him that. So when God said, "What should I do for you?" So my father warned me ahead of time. He said, "Give me wisdom." My father had told me, it's not about, I'm so small, what do I do? Help now. No. His father had instructed him since he was young. If you're ever given the opportunity, these are the things that are precious in life. Play, I'm bringing an issue here. That is how it is also supposed to be with a minister. People go for training. I know ministries, they send people for training. At the end of the day, when they come back, in fact, one man went for training, he came back when I was speaking with him. So I shared with him for like 15 minutes. I was in his house. Church is starting, how the church, I'm not just talking about things like this. I feed people with the word of God. Now just talk. He said that, "Sir, this is our 15-minute discussion. It's more than the 6 months I spent in training." I'm like, "So what were you learning?" No, church administration, you know, how to do accounts and all that. I said, "Oh, I'm not saying it is bad, but, oh, they didn't bother teaching you this part of it." Well, not that they didn't bother, they didn't know it too. Yeah, they didn't know it too. Listen, truth-equipped minister, that's what I'm talking about. Number one, a minister must be a serious learner himself or herself. A reader morning, afternoon, and night. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to my wife said, "How come you know a lot of things?" Because sometimes we're just discussing. The other day, they were showing on news, one drag racing car that blew up. They drag racing. The car just blew up. Boom! I'm like, "What?" So I explained to my wife, "Listen, they use methane for propulsion." I'll just explain it. How did it? You know, I know what goes on in her mind. How did you know that? I said, "Well, I have watched it being analyzed and discussed before. That's what I'm going to." He said, "Why do you know all this?" I said, "Because when I sit down to watch TV," I said, "How many times do you see me tune African Magic?" I said, "Many times. That when I'm given an option, I'd rather watch Discovery Channel." You understand? National Geographic, yes. Discovery World, National Geographic, you know, CNBC Africa. So I hear analysis of things. I'm trying to bring us something. So later, it becomes part of you. Later on, the issues come up. You say, "Oh, no, I know that one." That's how it is also in ministry, with the Word of God. Rather than reading a novel, novels are good. But if you have to make a choice, there's so much you don't know yet. Pick a teaching. If there's a controversial topic, study it. Yeah, people are going to come to you with questions. Some people, the other day, somebody said something, one minister. Next Bible study I came for, two people queued up. Say, "Pastor, this man said this. Is he correct?" I said, "Who? What did he say?" I said, "Sorry, I don't know. I just dropped them away. I wasn't ready to discuss." The point I'm going to make is that they were waiting to get to Bible study on Saturday so as to ask Pastor Banky whether this is correct or not. One day I went to church. One man finished preaching powerfully. I just came to attend church too. But a lot of my ministry people were also there in the service. As soon as I walked out, it's as if they had formed a gang waiting for me. "What happened, sir? What happened, sir? Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" You know, they were like, "That's what he said." I said, "Guys, we're in church. We'll talk later." Like, "All of you, go away first." What I'm learning is that they will come to you with questions. People, they expect answers. A lady came to me once, said some things, and I said, "Listen, please, I'm not of that opinion." And she looked at me like, "What?" Other pastors, I said, "Listen, they have their opinion. This is my opinion." He said, "You pastors are not meant to confuse us." That was what she said to me. Like, "Why are you people causing confusion? One pastor said this, I've come to you now. You are telling me this, the other one." I'm like, "Okay." So I can't hold my own opinion anymore. But I remember her face, I remember her words. He said, "You are not supposed to confuse us, you're supposed to teach us." I said, "That's what I'm trying to do here." I thought, "That's why you came up here." But her own was that, listen, if I want clarification, you guys, is your duty. So why would the one causing me confusion? What am I going to explain? That is the duty of the minister. So get ready for it. I was saying earlier, you can pray from now to tomorrow. It won't enter your head. Prayer prepares your heart to receive it. Having done that, you pick a book and you start reading. There's something I say all the time to people. We must not think we can reinvent the wheel. What does the white man mean when he says, or the English man mean when he says you are reinventing the wheel? You spend 3 days and three nights in fasting and prayer to hear a revelation that Brother Billy Akoni, as an example, spent 3 days and three nights 20 years ago to receive it, and having received it, he wrote it in a book. And then you just go and buy the book. Then your prayer will be cut short to 1 hour and one hour during the night. Yes, because that truth will suddenly shine on you rapidly. You don't have to be born with a heart defect and get healed to learn faith. Just go to Kenneth Hagin, buy his books, read it. Because by the time you have to go through having heart defects, then tuberculosis like, Lester Sumrall, by the time you finish, your whole life, what are you going to achieve? This life is not too long. One thing Mike Mudok said, he didn't mention the book, but I knew the book. It's Living on the Edge, Peter Daniels. The book is very expensive. So he said one day he was buying it. When the book came, it was like $250. Now, you must understand, typical books that size, hardcover, they're like $25. Peter Daniels' books came out at $250. So he said one day he was buying it. Now, Peter Daniels' story is very interesting. He's a man who, he came from a very dysfunctional family background. That's not just his own nuclear family, extended family. He said most of his uncles were in jail. You understand? Australian man. White man. He was illiterate as an adult. White man. So as a child, his teacher told him that he's stupid. His brain's stupid. People used to call him brain damage. He couldn't learn anything. Peter Daniels could not read. He was dyslexic. So as an adult, he was an illiterate bricklayer or something. Australian. Until Billy Graham came to Australia. And he gave his life to Christ. That was when his life turned. Last time I heard of him, he had read over 3,000 biographies. He reads a lot. He taught himself how to read. Now, part of the story I'd like to tell is that he started three businesses, they failed. His mission in life is to give money. He's a giver. All right, I don't mean giver as being a good man. I mean giver as a ministry. It's a giving ministry. I wrote it in my book, So We Pay For This. There's a ministry called the Giving Ministry. That's what he does. In fact, he calculates all his giving. He wants to see how much a man can give in a lifetime who came out of the depths of poverty. He was very poor, very, very. But now he's very rich, very, very. Once, he consulted for a company. I'd like to tell that story. He spoke to them for 10 minutes. They paid him $1 million. We're talking about Nigerian business trainers earning $1 million a day. Yesterday was like, wow. Peter Daniels earned $1 million for 10 minutes talk. And in case you think he was just being sharp, no. The company made $100 million from his 10-minute talk. That's Peter Daniels. All right? He goes around training church Christians on how to do business. That's what he does. He goes around the world doing that. That's his ministry on the side. But he's into real estate business. He's the only private bullion company person in the world. You know, most of the bullion companies are held by government. All right? His children fly around with gold ahead in their briefcase. You know, he's a very rich man. All right. So he wrote a book, Living on the Edge. So the book was very expensive, difficult. I've been trying to get my copy. I wasn't willing to pay such a huge amount of money for it. I thought the price would come down. My brethren, the price is not going to come down. And I think he printed it once. I think I may be mistaken. And that's the end. So you can only buy it now from somebody who bought then. So. Mike Mudok, he didn't mention the name, but when he talked, I just knew that's the book I was referring to. So he said he was buying that book. Remember, I said he didn't mention the name. I put two and two together. But the point is that he was buying it. Somebody said, why are you spending so much on this book? He said, look at the page. He said, what do you mean? I'm going to get 70 years experience for only $200 and something. What are you talking about? I mean, it's very cheap as far as I'm concerned. This man is going to say all the things he has gone through, how God helped him, how he affected, how his life was affected by the preaching of the word of God. How, you know, I'm adding more to it now to emphasize it. For this amount of money, nothing spoiled. The other day I was thinking in my house, I wanted some Kennehige materials and some Jack Hayford materials. I looked and looked, and the found there I sat down. I said, Banky, listen, you can buy these things from the US. Yes. Total cost $1,000. You know, it just don't mean that books don't have to go for 200 naira. If they go for 200 naira, fine. Do you understand my point? But if you want a book and it's not 200 naira, you're driving a car, you're wearing a nice watch, your iPad, you know what I'm saying? In your house, you have tell me. I said, no. I said, if only to prove to God that I'm a serious person. Yeah, so there are things that God is watching. You say, let me see whether you will do it or not. I told my wife, sorry, I think I will buy this book. So I ordered the set of Kenneth Higgins CDs and Jack Hayford CDs and their books. The total cost came to about $1,000, I remember, close to that. I said, okay, if I don't buy it now, if I want to do after I brought the material, okay, so my boys, you know, yeah, I brought a copy. I give them, because, you know, when it comes to word materials, come and arrest me if you want. I don't understand copyright, too. All my guys for Kingdom Word. Oh, yeah. They read the thing, make their copies, and hey, at least I have invested into their lives. The rest of the materials, my guys say, what do we do with it? They are still in the house anyway. Now, what I'm trying to say, that's the only way you get truth. There's no other way. You spend your money because people are going to come asking you questions that you must have understanding. And I don't think any serious minister that's equipped should be quoting somebody senselessly. You know what I'm saying? In our church, this is how it is done, and that's fine, and that's law. I had a discussion with a friend the other day. He said, the church's position. I said, my friend, stop telling me this church's position, my friend. Both of us are ministers of the gospel. Pick up a Bible. You know the church position? After all, there are 5,000 churches in Nigeria, if you know what I'm going to say, different denominations. So one has an opinion, so what? I remember the discussion we were having that time. If you remember, one day we were discussing with Father Dundon, we were students. He said, this is a Catholic theology, this is a Baptist theology. You now said, but I don't understand all this Anglican theology. All I know is Holy Ghost too. I want to say, Mia, will you stop that? Why are you embarrassing this old man? I still remember. We were having a core group meeting. Father Dundon was there. You were the one that said that, they say, because we said something. We were having a discussion. So he said, that is Baptist theology. Somebody explained something. They said, no, that one is Anglican theology. Ah. Every explanation had a label. Now we look, say, okay, beg, this labeling is enough. Which one is truth? A label doesn't justify it. You get my point? Hey, which one is correct? What I'm going to say is that as ministers, that's what we should be concerned about. And like I was preaching last Saturday at Kingdom World Ministries, I said, anybody can be wrong. Anybody. I love Ken Hagin with all my heart. There are things I don't agree with him on. And if you are willing to hear it along the line, we'll pick up the Bible and see whether I'm right or he's wrong. I used to go leave my work, take permission from work, take casual leave, and go to Bishop Oyedepo School of Ministry. There was a day I finished preaching something. I came back to work next day. I looked for my friend. I said, Femo, he's a minister too. I said, we need to talk. So after work, he came to my office. Sit down. I said, yesterday I was at school of ministry. Bishop said this. I'm sorry, I can't accept it. So we began to analyze. So we went to the scriptures. I said, no, I think in this area. That's it. I mean, next school of ministry, I was there. So you see, you disagree on one thing, so what? Can you agree? I mean, if you wanted to agree with somebody all the time, you won't be married. It's true. So, for me, it's not a big deal. Like I say all the time, there was a minister I was listening to. The man will insult black people. When he said insult, and he had no apologies. And I said, look at this man. I'll tell my wife, look at this man. Why is he still talking like this? Then he will insult the American president for supporting black people. It really makes it many, many years ago. I go complain. Then he will use big, big English. His English will almost fall on you and enjoy you. After a while, my wife said that, like, the complaint was too much. Like, why are you still listening to him now? You're just complaining. Exactly. They don't force you. And I said, but baby, you understand, there are some things he's saying, Sha, that only he. And that's a matter of fact. Like I was saying, his book, Christian at Ease, and The Faith Rest Life, I've not seen any book like them in that area. He wrote a book many years ago. I read it when I was on campus, Giving. Look, there's analysis words. That when you get it, you've gotten it. So when the man they abuse me, I will close my ear. When he finishes the abuse black man, I open my ear again. The message continues. When you hear the man explain what Paul meant, talking about being disciplined, talking about the discipline of an athlete, he will give you the Greek, the perspective in the culture that time. The thing will print into your head permanently. Hard work, but we got to do it. So when the man wants to abuse me, I go close my ear. When he finishes the abuse, I open my ear again. We'll continue the discussion. What am I saying? It's an effort we put into making sure we have understanding. That is one. Secondly, which I said was my emphasis for the day, is the fact that in our delivery, it must be pure. Nobody knows everything, no. Apollos came to preach, and the Bible says that he was expounding accurately the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was a problem. He was acquainted only with the baptism of John. Then Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and expounded them to him more accurately. So there's no problem with not knowing everything. That's what I'm going to emphasize. What actually pollutes the word is what I want to talk about as I close, which is what we must guard against. There are temptations. You see, when the word of God is coming forth, it must come forth pure, undiluted. What are the things that pollute it? What are the temptations to dilute it? The pollution of the word of God, number one, can be ignorance, but that's not a serious one, really. Like I said, nobody knows everything. There are some inaccuracy here and there. Those are the mild pollutions. The real pollutions are the problems in the heart of the man delivering it. Just like the surgeon's hands, if he's not well washed, will contaminate the equipment, will give infections to his patient. If the heart of the minister is not well washed, he passes truth across, but the truth is contaminated. The commonest one today in the body of Christ is when it comes to raising money. I finished preaching once. As I was stepping down from the pulpit, the pastor of the church where I went to preach said, where I was preaching said that, that was a good time to tie that thing to tithe and offering. But you did not. Wow. There was dejection on his face. Ah, that was a good message. So anyway, sir. One day my wife, you know, my wife has a lot of clients. A lot of them are ministers. They buy suits, perfumes, shirts, ties from her. Tools of ministry. So one day, Pastor Banky's wife went to go and collect money by agreement from this big minister of a big church. And the man said, you came on a Tuesday. You should have come on Monday. That by the way, when she had come that Monday, there was not much money. That he was not around. Listen to this. That it was his boys that preached on Sunday. And that, you know, these young boys, they don't know this thing. They will preach a good message and just leave it like that. They don't know how to connect it so as to get a good offering. My wife came home and said, my husband, see what I hear today. That, but please, you should just wait till the next week. That when he preaches a message himself, he knows how to connect it. That these boys, they just preach a good message. Now, this is a point he does not even realize. No, the Bible says their glory is their shame. The man didn't even understand that even if you were doing it, you don't talk about it.
That's what everyone wants to see. So it's not
you. I'm telling you, that was what the man of God said. That these boys, they don't know this thing. That's what I'm talking about. That the boys don't know it. He knows how to. I was stepping down from a pulpit. Somebody said, that was a good point to connect that message with tithes and offerings. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is number one pollution of the word of God that I have seen around. You must guard against it with your whole life. Paul said, therefore, now, you must understand what he said beforehand. He was talking about the beauty, the glory of God, how the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Paul said, therefore, now, you must understand this. Paul was saying that the blindness that people are experiencing, there is a ministry of death. We are the ones that have the true word of God that causes liberation for mankind. That is, without this word, they are doomed. He said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. What does that mean? When a man doesn't lose heart, it means there are discouraging things happening. So despite the fact that we have been discouraged, we don't lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. We have decided we will not walk in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. But by the manifestation of truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is what the problem I have today in Nigerian Christianity. There's no truth. Let me say there's no truth. There's very little truth. People hardly preach the word of God for the fact that it is the word of God. The other day I was studying, listening to my Bible actually on CD. And I heard it said that because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness or iniquity, therefore God, thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Now this is the point I'm trying to make. He said you have loved righteousness. Christians today, they use righteousness for a result. They don't love righteousness itself. The example I like to give all the time, when they have women's meeting, when you want something from your husband, you will kneel down for him, you will do like this, you will rub his back, you will cook for him. So the women always ask, what if I have done that and it has not worked? I say, you now add faith to it. You start confessing. You know, we start witchcraft. You anoint his photograph with oil. It's witchcraft. And I always answer, I say, listen, forget all of this. Christians do what is right because they are right. It's called godliness with contentment. Preachers preach what is true because it is true, not because it gets results. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, if I enter a church and they need money, it is forbidden that I use the word craftily to raise money. This is the way I used to do it. I mean, people say, is it right or wrong to raise money? No, now. What is wrong with asking for money? The only thing is simple. Ask for it. Are you getting my point? I remember those days when my pastor would say, look at the problems in church. And I'm the one preaching for the day. One thing you will never, if you like, put a gun to my head, you will not have me do is mix my preaching with money raising. I will not. So you want to be raised money? No, it's not a problem. I will get up. I'm very good at that. In fact, one brother came to me one day. He said, Panky, this guy, you are real. Say, you know, they pretend. I said, what am I pretending for? Human beings didn't send me to Enugu. Before I met all of you, I have been like this. So what am I pretending for? I was married before I got here. So if I say I wanted to present for the women, I said, you understand what I'm saying? But now I've already married. So what is the pretense for? I'm not begging for you to open a branch so I can be the head over it. Because that's how they do my things. I said, brethren, praise the Lord. Pastor said, before I came up now, he said the church is very broke. Can you believe it? Church is broke. They will laugh. I said, wait, quick, before I start my message, we have to ensure the church is no longer broke. It's our church. Who else will make it not broke? We need money urgently, please. So between now and tomorrow, we should have like 200,000 naira. All right? So how many people have money there? Please quickly package it together or write it, please. Make sure I can take 15 minutes. You understand what I said? Everybody says yes. Say, praise the Lord. All right, good. Let's now start with this message. I ain't mixing it. I will not mix it. I will not mix it. Because that is called adulterating the word of God. Even I've seen people say it, after all, it's for a good cause. It doesn't make it right. One of the things we were taught those days in a CEM, there was one lady that came to give us lectures in CEM. That's when we used to do children's Sunday school in St. Albert's. There was this lady that somebody invited. She had done the CEM. There's a ministry called Christian Evangelism Ministry in Nigeria. So they do training for people. Children Evangelism Ministry. They do training for people, and she has gone for their training. So she came give us a lecture that day. One of the things she said, I remember, was striking. Because one of our sisters then, her name just escaped me now. There's some things we used to do during Sunday school. When the children are rowdy, we are talking about the commandments of God. There was one she said, thou shalt not fight. You understand? And so we thought it was like, you don't want children to fight. The woman was not even there the day that happened. She was just explaining that one of the things was, be careful with Christians. You don't add to the word of God. That there are 10 commandments. You teach them 10 commandments. God never commanded, I'm adding to it now to put it together, thou shalt not fight. So don't tell them there is thou shalt not fight. Tell them it is bad to fight. A good child of God does not fight. In fact, there are scriptures of someone, you must not strive. It's there. But don't add to it. I see people say, no, you know, if you don't do like this, how will the church get money? I said, how the church will get money is a secondary matter. We can discuss that. But please, this is the wrong way to get money. You are not supposed to adulterate the word of God. I watch TV all the time. I'm sure you do too. And the embarrassment is a lot. Spiritual gymnastics and advanced mathematics. Today, as I was waking up this morning, the Lord began to speak to me, what is the mystery of the number 7? And I realized that 7 is the number of perfection. And if you double that number, it becomes 77. It's supposed to be 14, no? But it's now 77. Therefore, and anybody the Lord will speak to today to bring a $77 seed is going to experience. There is nothing wrong with coming up and say, praise the Lord, I feel strong about $77. How many people will join me in $77 seed today? There's nothing wrong with it. Look, I tell my men, a kingdom of wisdom, my young men who I teach, my students of the word, I say, all of you will prosper mightily. That the word will make you prosper. I say, one day, I will be going on the road. I will see a car that I like. And I will come and call all of you and say, boys, I saw one car today. I have checked the price. It's 28 million naira. 1, 2, 3. Three of you. My birthday is on Monday. Buy it by Friday. Register it on Saturday. And present it as a surprise birthday present on Monday. I told them, and God knows I've said it so much, I will do it one day. Jesus was sending disciples. I said, go to the house of him that is worthy. That word worthy, people don't understand. What he means that if you see a man struggling to stay in one room, don't go to his house. Go to the house of the man that has plenty of rooms and ask for one. So a day will come, I will call you, three of you come. I know you can do it. Go and bring me that car. My birthday is on Monday and I want a surprise present of that car. There's nothing wrong with it. If you understand how to discern the seasons. You are getting my point? What is wrong is for you to get up. The Lord said, except the man of God over you is prospering, you can't prosper. It's a lie. Paul said, we're poor, but making many rich. He said, as you sow this seed, as a man of God is eating it, blessing will come from his soul to you. It's a lie. You are adulterating the word of God. Number one way people adulterate the word of God is wrong motives. The word of God is not a tool. The word of God is the truth. Truth is spoken because it is true. Not because I like it. Not because I enjoy it. In fact, the Englishman said truth is often bitter. I mean, God gave the prophet a scroll. Eat it. In your mouth it will be sweet, but in your stomach it will be bitter. We have to eat truth, whether it is sweet or it is bitter. If truth will scatter your church, please preach it. A woman was talking with my wife. This is the wife of a big pastor. And when she found out that my wife is a pastor's wife, so you're like, oh, you are one of us. Let us talk. These are our problems. Let's see what the issue is. We're not asking things like some of the women come to her to complain that their husbands have women outside, you understand, concubines, you know, have girlfriends. And that they don't know what to do. And some of the men are deacons. So my wife was like, wait, please, let me get this clear. A deacon in your church is committing adultery, you don't know what to do? Ah! Now you see, these are the pillars of the church. I'm not, God is my witness. So you see, I'm giving this in first hand so that you will understand that it's not story. That if you talk now. So you have adulterers as your deacons, but they are rich. They have money. So pastor can't talk. Pastor's wife can't talk. That in fact, she has called some of the men and talked to them before. And the wives came to fight her because the man is now punishing them by withholding funds in the house. So she has kept quiet. So pastor comes to church. He knows that guy is an adulterer. That one is a thief. But these are the guys who give the tithes and the offerings. So he shuts up. Jesus preached the truth once. The whole church scattered. He looked at Peter. I can imagine him smiling. Peter, you guys, you're not going to. That is, this is what truth does. Sometimes it scatters churches. Yes. When we count numbers too much, we can't stand church scattering. We are now the 58th biggest church in the world. There are statements you should please avoid making. It is not important. The most effective churches in the world, you don't know them. Some of them you have never heard of. What I like to quote all the time is from Revelation chapter 3, when the Lord was assessing a church. They said they were prosperous. And he looked at them, say, you, prosperous. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, verse 14, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, I must jump because of time. He says this in verse 17. He said, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, notice that they were rich. So they were proud of their wealth. They said, we have done lack anything. Money has sired all our things. The Lord said to them, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Why did I read that? To let you know that the way we assess things and the way the Lord assesses them are very different. You should learn his ways. Counting numbers, we are now 5,000 people, does not mean anything. If you start, there was one church in Enugu, my friend said that church is growing. Man, the way they are growing, man, give it to them. I said, my friend, be quiet. If you preach what they preach, even if your name is T.B. Joshua, you will grow. Yes, Africans want to fight their enemies. You know, it's an African problem. So if you just gather, today, I came with fire from the mountain. All your enemies are dead. The church will grow. What am I saying? Let us stop counting numbers. Stop counting material things. We have built a big church. Our pastor now drives a Lamborghini. When we count such things, like I was teaching my people, that they are the seeds of life. The fruit of it is that you start adulterating the word of God. You will not be able to talk again. A friend of mine was in my house that day. He was telling me about one minister, because he knows ministers a lot, that the amount of weight that this guy has put upon himself when it comes to the need for money, that once you go to his church, all he does is raise money. He has put pressure on himself. He's paying so many broadcasting stations. He's renting an expensive property. That is, at the end of the day, he needs to have many millions every week. So much that he can't preach again. People start building projects that so when they come to church, like Bishop will say those days, once they come to the pulpit because of building project, I will build my church. All the messages are, I will build my church. That's the way Kenneth said, is any time he has to talk about money, he will first take his offering first. Lest people misinterpret, that is, he doesn't even want the hot message to push a message, put offering out of your pocket. I've heard ministers say, they say it a lot. Well, preach a good message, so that the offering will be big. Yes. Don't joke about it. It's wrong. We preach truth because it is true. That's all. If it scatters the church, too bad. That means the church was not built properly before. If it's a proper church, truth shouldn't scatter it. If it scatters it, you'll be like Job. It will return double. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's the number one way by which we pollute the word of God. We don't keep it pure. Other ways exist, but my time is up, so I'll just run through them briefly. You have to be careful also that your anger, your personal issues, do you understand my point? A married woman, a man, your wife, a troublesome woman, or you're a difficult man, whatever. When I call her that morning, come conscious. My message today is on submission. In this day and age, do you know there are wives that are not submissive to their husband? No, this is true. These messages are correct. Except that what is pushing it is not the spirit of God, it is the spirit of anger. The man they vex. You come and start preaching on loyalty. Why? Two choice members of your ministry just left. Servants, today's message is disloyal servants. What did I say? Disloyal servants. Then you preach a good message on loyalty, but it's polluted. You're fighting. You're quarreling. It was not motivated by the need of the church. It was motivated by your disappointment. You are angry with people. Start preaching on the judgment of God on stingy people because the church is broken. Now, know something though. I've emphasized that, and these messages may be accurate too. That if somebody will carry the message away and it may just be blessed. But no, it's not the time now, man. But the fact that the spirit is like the vex. Do you understand my point? That's what is pushing you. That is not. Yes. Anytime you think about it, your blood starts boiling. I give advice to you as a minister, leave the topic alone. Just leave it. Don't talk about it. You must be careful that when you want to utter truth, it's just because it is true. As I said, you don't use your pulpit to get back at anybody. It's called turning your stones to bread. Let me say that and I will conclude it. Turning your stones to bread. They came to Jesus and said, he said, you are hungry. This is stone. You have the power. Turn it to bread. This is what I mean by turning your stones to bread. Using your pulpit, the authority God gave you to instruct you with the word of God as an advantage for your own personal end. That is, you and elder quarrel for church. He does not own the pulpit. You do. So you, do you know what I'm saying? You use your office there, that pulpit. You lambast him thoroughly. He can't reply. You have the only microphone. You are getting what I'm trying to say. Turning your stones to bread. The way I like to listen for my people is I say, if everybody stand up, you know everybody will stand up here. The passenger, everybody sit down, everybody will sit down. Everybody shout, hey, they will shout, hey. Say, everybody dip your hand in your pocket and bring out all your money. You know what they do? The first time, they will actually dip their hand in their pocket and bring out all their money. It's called turning your stones to bread. You are taking advantage of your authority for your own personal end. Meanwhile, God gave you that authority to be able to be a blessing to people. Do you understand my point? Let's all be very, very careful that we handle the word of God with purity. First, our doctrine must be accurate. Number two, even though they are accurate, if the spirit behind them is wrong. The word is polluted. That's what I'm talking about. You're angry with your wife. The message for the day is unsubmissive wives. There is a message for unsubmissive wives. But your own is being motivated by your vexation. One dear friend of mine wanted to go and preach in the church. He says, Pastor, you should preach on spiritual authority. I said, what is the matter? Some members of the church had disobeyed him. I said, there's no need. It's different from when you have a chronic problem, and as a pastor, you want to solve it. Do you understand my point? You want to bless people. They should be submissive to authority, but not when you're angry. You understand my point? When you're angry, you should only be angry for truth. Are you getting my point? Paul was angry in the book of Galatians. What was he angry about? That his people were being bewitched. Are you getting my point? And he was striving to correct them. He said, my children, for whom I travail again in birth, until Christ be formed in you. Your message should always be, one, about truth. What am I saying? I'm saying whatever I'm saying because it is true. But number two, it must always be so you can add a blessing to people's lives. So the word of God is profitable for correction, for instruction, for all of those things. But it is not for the man of God to turn his pulpit into the place from which he meets his own aims, his own end. I've spoken today. I've taken 10 extra minutes, sorry. But the point I have made is that, yes, we need to know the truth, but I've emphasized on the matter of the delivery of the truth. We have emphasized on the matter of delivery of the truth so that we'll present it in an accurate fashion. Again, please, that's the most important one for me today. Free of our own personal spirit, something like that. I devex, I'm angry. So I preach a message to get back at those who I'm angry with. The church needs money. So I preach a message on special seed. Anyway, I don't want to go into it. So much wrong doctrine today in Christianity. Plenty. We have to be careful. Like I said before, anybody can be wrong. And we shouldn't be afraid to disagree. As long as you have... Don't just be a disagreeable person. There are people who are very disagreeable. And some disagreeable people will become your friends. Please, I hope you understand what I've said. My emphasis has been on the delivery from a pure heart of accurate doctrine. I finished my message.